What we're talking about this morning, sharing God's love, was involved in a campus ministry, and that was our heart, to bring heaven down, to see what it looks like to be with Jesus. And I remember there was a dad dropping off his daughter, and he's like, you know, I met a Christian once, I dated her, she drank like a fish. And it was like, okay, that's your only experience, and you're still dropping your daughter off with us. Okay, just clear. We're going like, oh, okay, what do you say to that? What are the experiences of the people you do life with who aren't followers of Jesus? Is that their experience of a follower of Jesus? Preferably not yourself, but, you know, is that, what do the people you work with think about Christians? What do the people you, what do your family think? What's your neighborhood think? I remember I was 19 and got this, which was the biggest job at this point that I had had. It was a six-month job in an E-team working for EcoWood, and we did all sorts of things. It was really a, like, giving people all kinds of different skills. And I can remember we were on this trip out, and I was driving my dad's blue Pontiac Bonneville, and the thing was just a boat, and had four of my new colleagues. There's 10 of us that were hired, age 18 to 24, and we're driving, and there's this car ahead of us, and the bumper sticker says, "Christians aren't better than everyone else, they're just forgiven." And then this guy pops out of my window and goes, "You bleep, 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 bleep." And it was just like, what is going on here? And I drive, and he gets back in, and there's like all this, "Yeah, way to go, you showed him." And I'm driving, and I go, "Guys, Christians are cool." That's exactly what I said. And they were like, "Oh, are you one?" And then I was like, yes, I am. And they're like, "What kind?" I was like, "I don't know." "And what do you mean?" "Like, what kind of denomination?" I was like, a what a nation? And then they're like, "Well, are you like Catholic? Are you Baptist?" And I was like, "I don't know. We follow Jesus." And it was a real interesting experience. We got the 10 became two groups of five, and one guy who was just part of the party crowd just spent a lot of time like with those people in the five, and that guy, he became a follower of Jesus, and he said that I led him to Jesus, and I don't ever remember doing that. I just remember showing up and living my life and telling all the amazing stories I had about ways that I got to be a part of the youth and what we were doing, and I just shared what God was doing in my life, and he said I'd led him to Jesus, and I don't have any recollection of that, and he's now a pastor in the Yukon. And then I know that another one of those, one of the girls I worked with, her mom like was reinvigorated in her faith, and I was just living my life. And that's part of the thing we're talking about. How do we share God's love? This is what we're about. We don't want to be people who get in the way of people seeing God's love. We want to actually help facilitate that. So we're going to look at God himself. We're going to read a story from Matthew 9, verses 1 to 13. I want to invite you to join in to hearing from God's word this morning. My prayer is that you'll be meeting with him in this service, because his heart is to meet with you and to show you his heart for you, his heart for your neighbors. So we're in Matthew 9, 1 to 13, reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God? Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts? What's going on? What's evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen. And they praised God for sending a man with such great authority. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked him, his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. This is God's word. What I really want us to grab a hold of and really dwell on, reflects on verse 13. It's that Jesus wants us to show his great care and forgiveness. He wants us to show others his great care and forgiveness. And you see it, just the epitome of this is found in this, go and learn the meaning of the scriptures. Go and learn what this means. I want you to show mercy, show care, show kindness, forgiveness, not offer sacrifices. Religious tokens aren't at the heart of what I'm about. For I've come not to call those who think that they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners. If we get a hold of this piece about sharing God's love, that we're to be people who go out into Quesnel, into the Caribou, into the world, and show people his great care and forgiveness, it is going to change things. I think what we're talking about is this third piece of our vision statement. We're in week 3 of 3. Our vision statement, I think I jumped ahead on PowerPoint. If we go back, there's the three piece of our vision. It's follow, equip, share. So we've talked about following, we've talked about equipping. This week we're focusing on sharing. And there's a lot to be said about sharing God's love. But this morning, what I really want to reflect on is sharing God's love outside of the church context, as it was kind of relayed in this passage. So we have here the greater vision statement here. Let me read it for us. This is our heart. This is where God has been leading us over the past months. This is our new vision. And we have it out there in the foyer, and we're going to invite anyone who hasn't signed it yet, make sure you sign that. We got a couple, make sure you go out and do that. If you're in here, if you're saying, I'm going forward with where we're going, then go sign it. So we seek to follow Jesus as a unified, spirit-filled body of believers, passionate about sharing God's love while living out our faith. We disciple and equip each other for ministry using the Bible as our foundation. We invest our God-given gifts, talents, time, and resources to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, anticipating a spiritual transformation in Quesnel, the Caribou, and the world. So this is what we're about. This is what we're reflecting on this morning. So digging into this passage, so if Jesus wants us to show his great care and forgiveness to others, then let's look at this second story, because this is this is the main story I want us to reflect on, but we're going to see how they both come into play a lot here. So first thing is that Jesus shows his great care and forgiveness to Matthew and his disreputable friends. I love that. So his unwholesome, his unrespectable friends. So picture Jesus going up to Matthew, and just like he said, he goes up to him at his tax collector's booth, follow me and be my disciple, be one of my students. Jesus said this to him, and Matthew got up and followed him. So very briefly, a tax collector is one of the most hated people there is in Jewish society. So picture Canada being taken over by the U.S. government. I have many wonderful American friends. Val's American. Yeah, you're visiting us. But picture the American government has taken over Canada and is imposing its will, and there's greater taxes on Canada, and then they hire Canadians to go around and knock door to door and get those taxes from people and chase them down. And then they work on commission. So whatever you can add on top of those taxes, that's your commission. So people hated these people who betrayed their own people. They were crooks. They were sleazy. They had money that they were taking out of everybody's pockets. Jesus said to this guy, you come be one of my followers. This is Christianity. This is the ridiculous, scandalous, absolutely scary, but wonderful love of God, that God doesn't hold everything that we've done wrong against us. No, he embraces us. Yeah, us, that's right. You got that one, that was good. This is Christianity. It's not about being embraced for keeping the rules. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about the wonderful, amazing, extravagant love of God shown to us and us responding to that love. So then Matthew, this guy is now a follower of Jesus. Okay, so what's Jesus said? He says, all right, Matthew, I really want to hang out with your friends. Let's all get together and let's hang out. Let's have a party together. And you just picture Matthew like, you want to hang out with my friends? Hold on. Good idea, but you don't know my friends, Jesus. And don't you, you may have said this in your own heart or in your own thoughts before, like, no, there's no way my friends could get together with Jesus and his friends. They aren't going to mix. But that's not what we see at all in this passage. What we see is, and we see throughout the scriptures, is that people of all renowns, of all backgrounds, they're drawn to Jesus. And this is my belief, that anybody who gets a clear sight of Jesus and who he really is can't help but fall in love with him. So they go, and Jesus doesn't just go on his own. He brings his disciples. He brings his other followers just besides Matthew, and he's teaching them about how to live. Which maybe if you're invited to a party where you're not really sure what's going to go on, hey, maybe there's something in there for you about having support or going with friends in sorting through where you're supposed to be and how to get support as you're in different environments. Jesus is modeling, this is what I'm about and what you're to be about. We're going to go hang out with all the people who probably would never hang out with Jesus and his church people, his disciples. But there's other church people there, and they completely miss the point. And they're standing there in judgment saying, why on earth does your teacher eat with these scum? So there's all kinds of judgment all over this. And Jesus actually steps in, because the Pharisees are actually talking to the disciples. Jesus is like, hold on, we're going to, you know, nip this in the bud. I'm going to speak to this directly. This is what I'm about. This is why I've come. I didn't come for those who already knew me. I came for those who didn't. And he talks about people who don't know him as sick. That's kind of offensive in Canadian language, isn't it? But if you don't know the creator of the universe and how you're to be made and be made in relationship with him, then something is off. And he says, I want you to be all about mercy. Show mercy. And he's quoting Hosea 6:6 from the Old Testament. What's the greatest commandment? It's not don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. That's not the greatest commandment. It's love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And the second top priority is love people as yourself. Get the order straight. Get the order straight. So we see this going on in this passage. And then we see the other passage. Jesus shows his great care and forgiveness to this paralyzed man. He says, be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven. And then he does the miraculous. He picks up, he tells him to get up and walk. But what's more miraculous? The forgiveness of sins or the getting up and walking? Well, in light of eternity, it's the forgiveness of sins, because there's a greater impact of care on our life if your eternity becomes right versus your earth time becoming right. But at the same time, they're both super important. The gospel is this announcement that the kingdom of God has arrived. It is here now, and it's not fully here yet. And that heaven, Jesus came to bring heaven down to us. And there's church people. Jesus and his disciples were church people, and they got it. And there's church people like the Pharisees, the teachers of the teachers who didn't get it. And Jesus even calls them evil. What you're considering is evil. That you would leave this paralyzed person shackled to their bed. There's a link between these two passages. There's a couple. Let's go to that slide. Is it the next? Yeah. Jesus speaks against a devotion to God that is content to leave sinners shackled by their sin and paralytics bound to their beds. He speaks against a Christianity that does not care for those who do not know him, or does not forgive those who do not know him, those who have done wrong. He speaks against this. This is not what being a follower of Jesus is all about. This is evil. We see this link. God has great care and forgiveness, and he wants everybody to know about it. And he refuses to let those who don't stay in the condition that they're in, whether it's physical or spiritual. You see both examples. Another thing you see in this passage is that the faith of his followers makes an extraordinary difference in the lives of people who don't know Jesus yet. You see, in the story of the paralytic, it says, what is Jesus impressed by? It's not the faith of the paralyzed person. It's the faith of his friends. And this story is also in Mark 2. And there's this extraordinary, it goes into more detail of people their friends cutting a hole in the roof to get Jesus to see their friend. It's their faith that made an extraordinary difference in their friend's life. Same happens with Matthew. It's his faith that gets to place his friends, people you'd never think would like or want to be with Jesus. It's his faith that places them in the same place. So what do we get out of this? What do we get out of this? What's this mean for me? Well, let's talk about our thoughts. How does this affect our thinking? What I really want to hit home, that the scriptures are hitting home, is that God wants us to go, as we go and share his love, get this one thing down first. Learn what the scriptures say, church. Don't be the kind of churchy people that are Pharisees, but be the kind of church people where people can't but not see Jesus. And the way to do that is show God's great care and his forgiveness. Just go and lavish it on people. Go and lavish it on all sorts of people and all sorts of places that they'd never expect to experience it. And it will have to change people. It will be that transformation, because people will get to know Jesus. I think we're often terrified of the E word, that evangelism word, right? I don't know what to say. I'm tired. That's scary. That's awkward. It's uncomfortable. I'm just going to stop. That freaks me out. I think if there's something, we need to get through that barrier. I think the way through it is in this passage. You may not have all the words to say, but what you can do is go love people. Go show God's scandalous, extravagant love for people. Be generous in words, with your money, with your time, with your energy. I love our vision statement. It wasn't something that was crafted by pastors or elders. It was something that we all crafted together in faith. And it was a faith step of just going, God, you're going to deliver this. And as leaders, we're working out what comes next? What are the objectives within these big three categories? What's the path? But the thing is, as the whole church, we got to just get busy living it. And then we'll start seeing what the path is ahead. Oh, I see that God's calling me to help in equipping in this way. I want to equip people grieving, or I want to equip children or youth or adults with life group. I just get busy doing it. And God, as that whole, that psalm, shine your lamp upon, your word is a lamp unto my feet, Psalm 119. He lights the path. He doesn't always show us what the full picture is. And there's this whole piece about, well, we got our vision, and then it's still unfolding what this all means. But I guarantee you, if we start living it, it's going to continue to unfold. And it's a huge vision. So what's this mean for us? We're talking about our vision. Have a vision to extend God's great care and forgiveness to all those you come in contact with. And that changes your thinking. And I think it is going to transform your feelings too. So I think when we talk about evangelism, not all of us, but a lot of us feel very similar to the paralyzed man. It's like, stop, don't move, don't say anything, you'll be okay. It's just freeze. But I think we can be released into just going and sharing God's love. Go love others. So our vision, what else does this mean? Well, let's talk about our table manners. Jesus models table manners for us. We see him sitting at a table with people who don't know God. Yeah, that's right. And you can do it in families. You can do it however. Over the end of this month, through the end of next month, you probably got about 95, 100 meals in there that you're going to have to eat. What if you just, maybe it's a goal for you to just eat one of those meals with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you do this all the time. Maybe this is a very natural rhythm. You're already living it. Maybe you invite some of the rest of us over to show us how it's done. There's this extension. Sometimes our lives can become quite closed. And in the church, it's like we love Jesus, but somehow our lives get so focused on him that we lose this really important part. And I'm just as guilty as the rest of us. In Langley, in the church that we were a part of for 15 years before we came here, there was a building operation that happened right across the street from us. And then it turned out to be another church. It was really interesting. It was like, whoa, well, that's kind of weird. They never actually talked to us about building a church right across the road from us. Oh, that's okay. Like, whatever. Oh, man, the building's starting to look beautiful. Well, that's interesting. Those iron fence, that looks kind of big. Huh. That might send a bit of the wrong message. Oh, man, there's a kind of a operating large gate. Oh, there's a code that people seem to need to get into the place. Oh, that's interesting. And people all from the community would come to me and go, hey, Dave, what is that thing across the street from you? I go, well, it's actually a church. Like, what? Yeah. Well, it was this very conservative church that their main operation in following God was to keep everybody else out, to make sure that they didn't corrupt them. They must not have this passage in their Bible. Like, I don't know. But like we sang about, Jesus, you are so concerned about us that you brought heaven down. Our table manners are to reflect the King of Kings and how he eats. Does your faith bring others before the Lord of Lords? What's your prayer life like? Are you bringing others before you who don't know him yet? Jesus shows the faith of people who follow him make an extraordinary, a life-changing difference in their friends. And not only that, but we, where we go, we can bring Jesus to others. We see that in Matthew as well. Jesus comes to be with him and his friends. And there's that sense of not just bringing our friends before Jesus, but our Jesus to our friends. And I guess we do that when we live out our faith. Yeah. It's extraordinary what he does and his love. Let's not ever be those kind of people who are very content to let people lay paralyzed spiritually, to lay there just paralyzed from knowing the God of gods, the King of kings. Allah, let's go and embody his love. This is his heart. I think this is something that's doable, that we can just go and share his great care and forgiveness to others. That's what he wants us to do. Go and learn what this means. We've dwelled on this, what this means. Go out into your life groups, in your conversations you have. Let's reflect on this. And I think as we do, we'll be beginning to live into this huge vision for our tiny little church, wanting to see God transform this whole town. And not just this whole town, this region and the world. And we know that we can't do it, but in living and in sharing life with God, I am the King of Kings, with Jesus, he can certainly do it. Let's continue to dream dreams. Let's pray together. God, your scandalous, extravagant love is amazing. Yes, we know that people need to hear about the cross. People need to hear about their sin and what separates them. People also long to experience your love. And they often can't hear these things until they've encountered you. God, forgive us. Forgive me for the many ways that I've acted like a Pharisee, for the many ways where I've totally missed the point, where my priorities have been totally wrong. God, forgive me. Grow in us a Christianity that looks and smells and feels like you. May we never be a kind of church that bars off this building or bars off our meals from those who don't yet know you. Because your heart is for all to come to you. It's so evident. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done for us, that we are those disreputable sinners who you could bar heaven off from us. We are the undeserving. We are the unwholesome. But you loved us all the same, and you've invited us to come in and eat with you. Thank you. Thank you for your incredible love. God, show us the path of how to live into this new vision. Thank you for each person here who's modeling what it means to follow you, to be equipping others to follow you, and to sharing your amazing love. Yeah, thank you for this morning. We praise you. In your powerful name we pray, Jesus. Amen.